Yes, I believe Manu must have told you, but when we sat together to conceive this kirtan course, we imagined a course which would do two things. First of all, teach those who are interested to incorporate kirtan in their spiritual practice the art of using these instruments. I'm seeing a whole herd of harmoniums there, kartals and midanga, so that our students can actually carry kirtan into their specific situations. And we are very happy to say that many students have come from this course. It's now, Surabhi, do you remember in which year we are? Is it
the
10th year already? Yes. So kirtan has really been supported, yes, by this kirtan course. So yes, we wanted to teach devotees, friends, just curious people, the art of using these instruments to do kirtan. That was first of all. But then we had also a second desire. We wanted to give students the fundament, the inner orientation, so that their kirtan would really become ecstatic, really blissful, carry a lot of spiritual energy. And for that part, I'm so happy I'm invited to come year after year and give a little bit the some fundamental understandings which, when you have them, help you to go much, much, much further in your kirtan. And just like when you wish to build a house, if you have strong fundaments, you can go very high up in the sky. Whereas when you don't have such strong fundaments, once you go a little bit further, your house will collapse. Before I start these wisdom teachings on kirtan today, I would like to recall an amazing conversation I had with a good friend who died. He himself did a lot to bring kirtan into the West. His name is Syam Das, and I believe at least Ben and Jenny might have heard about him. He's close to Krishna Das. They were initiated by the Neem Karoli Baba. But then Syam Das went to Vrindavan and became extremely attracted also to the Vaishnava understanding. So he was somewhat a well-known figure, at least in America and in the musical scene. He was close to Sting, that is a member of a group called Polis. I think that group is already over, but he's now a solo artist. And he spent time with him, trying to teach him kirtan, and so on. He was like a celebrity in the, you would say, kirtan scene, which was mainly there in America, Australia, etc. And he was knowing the deeper aspects of kirtan, not just the musical aspects. So I remember I was one day walking with him from a place called Govinda Kund to Apsara Kund, that's in Vrindavan at the site of the sacred mountain, the Govardhan mountain. So we were walking in the shade of the trees, and we were, I don't remember particularly what we were discussing at that time. All of a sudden, he just grabs my arm, he stops, I also stop, what is now? And he says, in his New York accent, "Man, you don't know what you got." he said like this, you do not know your own treasures. I have seen that the whole kirtan scene to which I'm invited is lacking this particular fundament which you are so fortunate to cultivate. It's sambandha. Now this is a Sanskrit word and it means relationship, but it means a divine relationship, a relationship with a God. You are chanting and you chant with the understanding of this relationship, and therefore your kirtan can go very far in terms of divine ecstatic experiences. This is what makes the music, you know, the notes, the rhythms, the beats, etc. It gives it a golden touch, a transformative golden touch. It makes it all of a sudden divine music, spiritual music, transcendental music, ecstatic music. So he was very excited about it. He was very clear about it, and I said, "Nice that you say this." So then we went to Apsarakund and we talked about this until the parrots came home. That's a sign in India. When the parrots fly in one direction, they want to be home before it gets very dark. How do we say it's dusk or dawn when the evening? It's
dusk.
Yeah, at the dusk time, when the sun has set already, and now the parrots fly home to their, mostly they have holes in trees and so on. So we were sitting until the parrots flew home, discussing this subject. And he was very, very, very moved by this, and only a year later he died. I think a person who is either before his death or who is dying, they sometimes get clearer insights than ordinarily in their lives. So I want to talk about this, the magical touchstone, so to say, which will make your musical skills, and they are extremely impressive. I mean, you played karatals like the world master in karatal playing. Your harmonium skills were outrageously beautiful, and Ben's feeling of rhythm would have made Lord Shiva dance. So good. So I'm saying in an encouraging way. So I want to try to give you an experience in these, I guess it's three sessions which we have all together, which will just put a touchstone on your kirtan that will make it, that will add it this divine dimension. Anyone can play these musical instruments, and that's those who have musical skill, they can learn it faster. But even I, who have, I mean, I very much appreciate kirtan, but without Gaur Krishna, who has the musical skill, I would not be able to sing so many melodies, I wouldn't be able to accompany myself. So anyone can learn it, even someone who's not musical. But that divine touch, which makes it extremely vibrant with spiritual energy, that is a speciality which I think if you as kirtan students learn that, you can help your students when you are out, or your people with whom you meet, to also get the touch of the master, so to say. They call it the touch of the master in English. Good. This is a little bit what we will do. I think you did the introductory kirtan already. I would like to make a talk a little bit. Then we will make a meditative exercise where we will deepen through meditation what I've talked about. And at the end, we will have a kirtan. Maybe for that, I will request our Madhava to play the madanga. Maybe you already want to come and sit with us. Does Madhava have your permission to play the madanga?
Do you think this one's better?
This one's better.
Maybe that one.
Okay. Yeah. Please repeat after me. Prashtaya Bhutale Shimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paskatyade Shatarine Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Garadhara Shivasadi Gaur Bhaktavrinda. Everyone please. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Once an American Zen student had gone to Japan to learn a higher level of Zen meditation. At that, when you have learned that and you string the bow and then bring the bow into position and then let go of the arrow, the string will make a certain sound. It's not like an ordinary bow sound. It has a certain additional vibration. So the student wanted to make a shortcut as we Westerners are bound to do. And he recorded with a recording device an accomplished master shooting, and he held it to the bowstring, which, and then he analyzed the sound. It made some like a sitar, and he practiced until he had it just right, without doing the spiritual exercises, the purification of the heart, the long meditations which they do. He just imitated one aspect, the sound. And then he called his Zen master, who was training him, and said, "I got it. I understood the secret. Hear the sound of the bow." And he got the sound to his knowledge, but the master heard it and went away. He turned the back and just out of protest went away. Because there was an element which you can only understand when you know the fundamentals. In the same way, when we sing kirtan, we may sing the melodies, we may use the instruments, but if that certain understanding of divine relationship, sambandha, is missing, we only have found the musical aspect of kirtan, not yet the spiritual aspect. We are chanting in kirtans mantra or divine names which are arranged in mantras. There's a secret to this. The divine supreme person becomes present in sound. He's there in sound. And when we know how to make our relationship, then he will reveal himself in our heart and the hearts of all the listeners. So the Lord, who is described as having no form, he's described here in the ancient Sanskrit text as amurtikam. He has no material form. The divine has no material form. He doesn't have a form with bones and blood. He becomes mantra murtim. He takes the form of a mantra. This is inconceivable to our brain. Mm-hmm. How can Krishna, the sound, be Krishna? That we have no experience of. When we go somewhere and we say, Mr. John will not hear it, nor will he be present when we say his name in the forest, because he's different from his name. No? Mr. John, say it in the forest, no one will be there. But if you say in the forest, Krishna, who has no material form, is there in the form of the mantra. To realize this, my dear people, we will try to make a few, a little exercise today. But as you can already imagine, it takes some understanding and a little practice to go really there. There is one saint who is the avatar, the divine personality of bhakti. This is Narada. Some of you who have heard, he has written a work, Narada Bhakti Sutras. It's a definition of what is bhakti. And he says from his own experience what happens to him when he chants the mantra? He says, I will tell you in Sanskrit. This is always nice to hear. Pragayata svavirjani tirtapada priyashravaha ahutaiva me shikram dashanam jati chetana. It says, the Supreme Sri Krishna, whose glories and activities are so pleasing to hear, at once appears on the seat of my heart, as if called for, as soon as I begin to chant. Wonderful, no? He chants the mantra, and as he chants, he experiences a divine descent, and he sees on the seat of his heart, he has arrived. And all those who lead kirtans, they do know. They can struggle. Our Madhava sometimes chants 4 hours. I think I've been in a kirtan of 5 hours, you know, at the end of some festival. And he knows, we have talked about this personally, privately, and I know also from my own experiences, you can sing the kirtan, but then all of a sudden, it turns into something else. It turns into a divine revelation. And it's so wonderful that I once had this in Lithuania. I thought, now I could die. And there's no problem. I have, he is no longer far away. The beloved is no longer, beloved Lord Krishna is no longer far away. He's right there. And that's the actual experience of kirtan. And if you can transport that to others, you will see the others will, they may not know what happened, but it's totally something else. I remember we once had a wonderful kirtan event on the island of Mauritius. Have you heard Mauritius? It is part of Africa, I believe. And we had a well-announced kirtan event. We were in TV. I remember we were in the newspapers announcing it. And there was a substantial number of attendants. We had made a huge tent. When it was at the end of it, someone said to me, the organizer, there's a man who really wants to speak to you. So he was there at the very end of this huge space. And I looked at him and he had a kind of troubled atmosphere around him. And this was a very major event and we had to get up really early. We chanted. It was 3 days non-stop. It didn't go on to the night, through the night, but up till, I believe, 10 o'clock. And then afterwards, so many enthusiastic people are there and you just can't go to bed, you talk a little. So, and we started in the morning. So I said, oh, not at the end, a troubled person. Cannot someone else speak to them who is not up so long? So I sent someone to say, but he was so insistent. Then I said, okay, service. talked and received, but as he stood 2 meters before me, I noticed his pocket was bulging. And he saw how I was looking and he said, "Yes, that's a pistol." He had a pistol, a gun in his thing. "But don't worry. I was going to the beach to end my life by using this pistol. I was just going to do this. So I was coming by this tent and I heard you all singing and I thought, well, let that be my farewell party, you know, goodbye, ugly world." So I went in, I listened, and all of a sudden I said, "Nonsense, why do I want to take my life? I will go home to my wife, I will somehow make up." There was a bad quarrel between us, but solution is close by. And he said, "I felt something which I've never felt before. Can you tell me what it is?" I wanted to say Krishna, but I thought, well, he's maybe from a different faith, let us say Islamic faith. He looked like this. You can see by the particular beard which they like to wear. And I said, "You were touched by something out of this world. You were touched by that supreme." He said, "True. This is true kirtan. It transforms the heart because Krishna or the Lord is there. And you may be from a different faith. It has nothing to do with Hinduism or Christianity, sorry, or Islam or Buddhism or whatever. It is something very, very divine. And everyone, and even the cat and the mouse next to them, can feel it. It's really so universal." So what do we need to then know or do or how do we approach this? The essential principle is here that you do understand a little bit who you are. Who you are beyond the story which the mind always tells you you are. I'm a German, I'm a French person, I'm a this, I'm a that. You need to come to the essential understanding, which is there when everything which is not you is taken away. I'm speaking of the self, of the soul inside the heart. And the other thing is you need to know a little bit about the Supreme. And then you, the real person, the soul, the self, is calling out to the Supreme Self. And a connection happens. And then the magic happens. It's almost like two ends of an electric wire come together and then zoom, the conduit. Conduct, yes. The conduct happens. And that you want to do by kirtan. You are calling out to that Supreme Lord. I think you don't mind if I call him Krishna. You know I'm a Krishna devotee. You call out and it's real. It comes from the deepest place within you. And then it happens. A natural relationship, a divine relationship, which was always there, even before you were born in this incarnation, and which always will be there, the natural relationship becomes clear to you. In one, just recently, I tried to explain this, and I remembered something, an analogy that tells you how relationships, even when they are forgotten, even when you're not aware in detail about them, become sparked and become re-established very quickly. You might have heard during the war, the Germans conquered many parts of Eastern Europe, amongst them what is now Romania, and they took the little boys and little girls, children, small children, to Germany to make them citizens of Germany in order to build the strengths of Germany. Very bad. But after the war, efforts were made to bring those who were at an early age taken from their parents and from their countries to bring them back. So there was one person of whom I know in Frankfurt of Romanian origin, and he had really he had become a very influential person in the society, a bank person, a banker, you say. And years passed by, but then he thought, I should see my real parents. And he contacted a government agency, and they found out and told him, your parents live at this street, at this Romanian village, you just go there. This it's the last house before the forest starts. So he went, you know, all kinds of gifts in his hands, a nice tape recorder, you know, recorder that can receive radio and music and everything. He went, and he came to that village. He found the street, he walked down the street, last house before the forest starts on the left side. He knocked on the door. It was around 5 o'clock in the afternoon. No reaction. No reaction. Remember, he has no remembrance of his father or mother. He was taken as a little boy. And by now, no remembrance how they look is there. Third time. Then he hears some very old person walking with steps, you know, sliding on the ground. The door opens a little bit. He sees someone looking suspicion outside, very old face. And all of a sudden, something happens. Human reason fails to completely understand. But he screams out, Father! He drops his gifts. The old man sees a total, to his eyes, a stranger. He calls out, son, in whatever language, you know. Language is not required in this area of emotions. And they hug each other, they cry, it's like a reunion which is happening. The essential point is they don't really know of each other very nicely. But once they meet, everything is clear. Doesn't need words, doesn't need dictionaries. It is immediately perceived. So in the same way, as we chant, and the kirtan is in that quality, that there is a divine element in it. When people join us in our chanting, they meet Krishna, who otherwise has no accessible form, in the form of the mantra. Mantra Muktikam, he is called. And it's immediate. It's immediate there. And we have seen, you can ask, discuss, especially, you know, our Madhava is here. He gives many, many programs where total outsiders come, isn't it? Yoga studios. And they come to him and say, thank you so much. Sometimes with watery eyes, tears, teary eyes. Thank you so much. And we already know what happened. The kirtan happened for them. You know? And they had a meeting, divine meeting, which really encouraged them. But we know, as kirtan leaders, all kirtan leaders know this, sometimes we are struggling also. We are not in the kirtan space, if you so wish, because the connection has not happened for us. The mind is also there, and so on and so forth. So yeah, I would like to make a few little two exercises with you that hopefully can give you a little taste of what we are talking about. That is connecting with who you are, and so on. Let us start here. I will read from a book called The Living Name, so I need to sometimes orient myself where what is. Here we are, here. What tonality? I'm here on A sharp. Is that good?
Some musical talk has to be done.
Good? Is it good? Yeah. So I will get my musical group here, some instruction. So we will do meditation, and which will lead into the kirtan. And so then when the kirtan starts, the instruments start. Yeah? There's shadow chanting. It looks like the substance, and there is real chanting. To go into the real chanting, the substantial chanting, I would like to guide you in a little meditation. I will keep this meditation a little in my own tradition. I think you don't mind. We are in a temple building, but I'm really touching on universal things. I will try to bring you to a space where you contact the real you, and I will try to somehow help you invoke your own relationship to the Supreme, the Divinity. And we will then try to chant, or we will chant from that space where the two vayas meet. And maybe some of you will fall in ecstasy. No, I don't. I will not go. First of all, it will not be there. It will not at the first attempt, at least. There will be a very wonderful experience, but I'm not afraid that we will have anyone rolling on the floor here. That's what I'm trying to say. So, all right, a little tune in. Sit straight, please. Just but comfortable. yes, you are very clever, Igor. I think this is the way you can sit comfortable. Wow, it looks like a battleship, you know. Wow, this looks impressive, your arrangement. But in any one of you, please sit in the way you need to sit comfortable.
Look around in the room. And just see the room in a very neutral way, you know, not forming any eye contact with anyone. See the room like a video camera would see it, neutral. When you are ready, close your eyes. We will do a few deep, natural breaths in and out through the nose. As you breathe in, stay with your ingoing breath. Be aware, I'm breathing in now. As you breathe out, stay with your outgoing breath. Be aware. If you wish, you can extend your exhale a little bit beyond your normal edge, so to say, where you normally stop, by exhaling a little longer, you will automatically see how you inhale deeper. Do this for about 3. Let us do it for 4 breaths. While you breathe, center yourself and focus on your breath. Good. Now we will do something which the yoga tradition calls the heart breath. We imagine we breathe in through our heart. Yes, as if you breathe in through your chest and into your heart. And breathe out in the same way. If you are like me, a visual person, you can imagine almost as if your nose is on your chest. But if you don't need this imagery, breathe in through your heart. Breathe in joy. And whenever you breathe out, relax a little more. Your mind's eye, contemplate these truths now. I am a small particle of consciousness. And I belong
to the Supreme. I'm part Krishna. Is that infinite conscious entity that divinity is my only Lord. I'm here in the material world where I have a chance to turn around and reform my tendency to remain absent in our relationship. And I now call upon that Divine Lord with His holy names to ask for permission to enter into that relationship. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. One more time together, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna,
Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama, Hare Hare. My dear people, please try to really go inside and connect with yourself, the self beyond the daily mind, you know, the daily thoughts, and from there chant and connect with that supreme, and you will see something. Please sing now. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Thank you. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare
Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. All of us together, please. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Krishna. Round and chant one more time together. And I request you to really try to chant in that divine connection. We need two for that, ourselves, our real selves, without all these roles, these plans, these anxieties sometimes. We need to go to our essence and call out to Krishna, to the Supreme, to the One with the many names. I request you to sing now. Hare Krishna. Thank you.
thank you all very, very much. Sometimes we don't want to get out of this kirtan space. Oh, no, don't talk now. Let me be. That can happen. Let me secretly, without you noticing it, look at my wristwatch. Good. We have 12 minutes or so for. If you have any questions, you may ask them now. This is the first of three lessons, and really, I can only speak for myself. I had come onto that kirtan instruction book. It's called Harinam Chintamani, the nectarian jewel or touchstone, actually, of the holy name. And there is, in one chapter, the difference is made between shadow chanting and real chanting. And shadow kirtan and real kirtan. And I was really surprised that there are two types of kirtan. Now, I do know that if I have an apple and a shadow of an apple, the shadow looks very much alike a real apple. But if I try to eat it, it's just not as juicy and tasty and so on. So then I undertook some study of that book, and then there's always starting, and then there's an advanced book. It goes into Bhajan Rahasya, where you're guided to meditate about the lila, the divine lila or divine pastimes in chanting. And but I still remember when I read this. It made a lot of sense. And then I became very eager to find out how can we make that into a substantial chanting. And these are the three meditations which are given. I am a part of consciousness, and then the one whose name I sing, Krishna, Govinda, Rama. He is the infinite consciousness. I'm part of that. And with this kirtan, which I'm now doing, I'm trying to reform, it actually says. These are old texts. They use old language. I'm trying to turn around and make that relationship work again. So, yes. Good. Is there any question or any point?
Ben, yes.
Thank you so much for your teaching. It's wow. Wow. But I just had a sort of a comment when you were asking us to really sing from the heart.
Yes.
You probably know this quote, but I would just love to hear your commentary on it by Rumi. My whole life, I've been knocking at God's door.
Yeah.
I never knew that I was knocking from the inside.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I never knew, yes. Yes, once you wake up, it's a whole different story, really. You may have done the same thing, in this case knocking, or doing kirtan, and once you come on another level, it you feel like a blissful beginner again. blissful, not oh no, but it's like a discovery. And I will give you now a secret. It will never stop. the discoveries. And therefore, it's always good in kirtan to be in a, how do they say, in the beginner's mind or the humble state of mind. Because it can never stop. The moment you know, think, I know kirtan, you cannot progress beyond that state. No? So that's the wonderful thing when we have divine, when we enter, yeah, when we enter the field of bhakti, where we relate, where we really relate to the Supreme. It's endless. Yeah, thank you, Ben. Thank you for that beautiful quotation. Fine, then I think there is one question. Where is Prashadam? And when is Prashadam? I think we will slowly go. Does any one of you here maybe Surabhi? What is the, we meet in the evening, yeah? Do you have something like a schedule? But I must really say, you have really some, this is a course which is not unlimitedly big because of the situations, but you have Gokrishna, Madhava, Surabhi. It's really, you wouldn't wish for more things. And I encourage you during the course to get to know these devotees, speak with them. What's your secret? What did you find out about kirtan? That is one very good thing about bhakti. A lot is stressed on sangha, association, because there's just so much we can learn from each other, so much. What is there in the heart of someone, you know, who's practicing? The Gokrishna and Madhava, they were practically born in kirtan. We can't actually imagine, we can imagine Madhava as an embryo playing mridanga as he goes out of the birth channel. So these they are born into this. And what are their realizations? What have they seen on their part? That is, it's good if you do like this. And another suggestion I would like to give you, in the evening we always have kirtan, and Surabhi will soon inform us when it starts.
Yes, at 6:30 there will be kirtan and pratap.
Me?
Uh-huh. And then right afterwards we will have evening kirtan with Madhava, also in the temple. So
yeah. Yeah, so I want to say that the secret of kirtan you get by doing kirtan. It's just like swimming. You get it when you do the moves, and all of a sudden, whoa, I'm swimming. I don't touch the ground any longer. Don't become proud, because you might sink at that moment and lose it all. But so the secret of kirtan is revealed to those who do kirtan. Therefore, in this kirtan course, there is this really invitation to come into the temple and join everyone else. Good. So I will. Sorry.
Where did you hear your first kirtan?
When I did.
Where did you hear?
From the TV.
From the TV.
I was a Rolling Stones fan, and the founding guitarist, Brian Jones was his name, had died due to severe sadness. There was so much quarrel in the group, really mean quarrel, and a lot of money involved. Due to severe sadness, he had taken an overdose and was found in his swimming pool. And I still remember, his body was removed, but in the TV it was shown that very swimming pool where our idol died. There were two dogs around him, at the swimming pool, wailing for their dead master. Oh, and then I was really very sad because I had some appreciation. And I was very sad, and I started. Then right after this, they showed an exciting new band managed by the Beatle. At that time was something. Do you know the Beatles? Have you heard? Yeah, you have heard, the young people. So the one was called George Harrison. So he had discovered this new exciting band, the Radha Krishna Temple Band. And they were the next one, and they were singing Hare Krishna. And I thought, well, I'm so sad. This is something with monks, I think, something spiritual. Might as well join. And I sang it all wrong, but I sang. I didn't know when was Krishna, when was Hari, when was Rama, but I tried and gave my best. And I only know one thing. When it was finished, it ends with a gong, gong. When it was, and I had that feeling Brian had not died. He is eternal, and so am I. I don't know from where this idea came, but it was there, and then, wow, I felt the tears dried. I had tears for 1 month for Brian, you know. I really was sad. They dried, and I became somehow in my consciousness. I thought, yes, there's the end, physical end for everyone, timely, untimely, whatever we call it. There is the end for everyone, but not for the soul, not for the self, and that gave me great encouragement. And I remember telling this to my friend, you have to listen to this exciting new band. It does something to you. Hare Krishna. And then later I met, then there was a promotion tour of devotees through Germany who were on this album. You know, they were everywhere in Star Club, if you know Star Club. Boah, if you can make it to Star Club. They were chanting there everywhere. And but then I met them on the street singing and dancing. I thought, that is in style, you know, to go right on the street with your music, even though you are a famous act. That I call that style. These people have style. Then I asked a monk. When there was a little pause, I asked him if he could write down how it the words of the song. You know, Madhava will know the person and go Krishna. It was Tamal Krishna Maharaj. They were on a promotion tour, and they wrote it on a piece of paper. And then the next time I sang, then I started to sing it in a special circumstance. You know. My parents were out in the weekend. They were so-called very successful. They were in the big society, you know. And they left us children in the home because a lot of business was done during these high-class parties, you know. So my father and my mother were there, and we were not allowed to watch TV, but I knew where the key was for the TV. And there was one exciting program, horror movies. Oh, I appreciate it very much. So I was opening there was a cupboard or something, some arrangement that you open the doors and then you have the TV. And then in the third program, there was only three programs, one, two, and three. There was Frankenstein at the good hour of 12 o'clock at midnight. That was something you wouldn't miss if you appreciated
the nerve stimulation, you know. So I saw that. But when I was young, I was 15, when it was finished, I locked the, you know, I switched it off, I locked it. But already then I had the feeling Frankenstein was in the TV room. I had the feeling, so I quickly put it there. You know, my mind was making images of the monster getting after me, you know. So I remember I went out, and it was a long corridor I had to go. I thought, oh my God, he can't, oh no. I overdid it, because the young boys are very imaginative, good imagination was there. From everywhere, Frankenstein. I got almost obsessed with the fear to meet Frankenstein. And then I came in my bed, and it was a high bed, you had to climb up. And I said, am I just imagining? But oh, then there was a little sound just on the corridor. Oh, for sure, I'm true. This is a truth for reality. So I was under the blanket. Then I just could, my mind wouldn't stop. We all know this. Our mind can go on a roll. And then I thought of my experience with the mantra, and I somehow went very carefully and very, very softly down so that the monster wouldn't hear me, and got to, I found it. It was behind a curtain where I had books, and it was inside a book. And I found it, and I didn't need to look very, very long. I remember Krishna was merciful to me. I found this. Then I got a matchbox. I went again under the blanket, put the match up, and then saw the mantra and started Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Just, and finally, I don't know, half an hour or 1 hour, I do not know. The mind finally calmed down. There was no Frankenstein any longer. And I was calming down, and I was saved. And that's my beginning of chanting. Young boy, young boy, young, young imaginative boy. And I really felt it. The fear went away, and like this. I cannot be very proud of my story, but that was it. Good. So I think we have come to a natural end. Thank you very much for coming and singing so beautifully. And we will have tomorrow. This day we were a little late because we just arrived, but tomorrow we will start. When is it? At the 11:30. This is 11:30, and please be there in the evening for singing with all of us. You will understand what it is, and then you will get the nectar. Good. See you then. Haribo. Have a wonderful day. Good appetite also, and Haribo.